Hi, I'm Kat.
And I'm Claire.
And welcome to our podcast, Charmed by the Set, the very first one. Yay! So, if you don't know who we are, let us introduce each other. So, Claire Almond is a TV writer whose credits include Destination LA and Staycation, and is an essayist whose bylines include The New York Times, LA Times, and HuffPost. She's an amazing writer. She teaches personal essay writing at the Writing Pad School in Los Angeles. Go sign up for her class. They're online, so you can take them from anywhere, even on the beach. She is a lifelong TV lover, bagel enthusiast, and a pretty good dancer, which I can attest to.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Yes, Kat Davidson is also a TV writer and playwright in Los Angeles. She has a Master's of Fine Arts degree in writing from Northwestern University, and she's the current story editor on the AMC TV series Mayfair Witches. Season 2 coming soon, and if you haven't already, go check out Season 1 on AMC Plus or Netflix. And besides fully loving working on Mayfair Witches, Kat is also an avid fantasy reader who is a bit witchy herself. She loves her home remedies and baking, and she wouldn't say no to a good vodka martini with a twist.
And also a good bottle of wine. I'm a very Olivia Pope in that way. Thank you, Claire, for that wonderful introduction. And if we haven't given it away, we're talking about television, yay, and how it magically transformed us into the women we are today. In this podcast, Charmed by the Set, we are delving into the TV of our formative years, what made lasting impressions on our young minds, what influenced us positively, what challenged us, what might have given us that little ick factor. But mostly what drew us so completely to these fictional worlds that we ended up wanting to create worlds just like them ourselves. And Claire and I always talked about the shows that we grew up on. In fact, we met on set of a television show. We met when we were both working on the TNT series Major Crimes.
Yeah, I was the second assistant accountant for the last 3 seasons, which for those of you who don't know about TV production, is not something you need a degree for. The whole 4-person accounting team there were all like English and film or media majors. That's what I was. We all just kind of fell into it and learned on the job. And that's how I broke into the film industry.
Yeah, nice. And on that same show, I was the scriptwriting intern through the Television Academy internship. And if anyone's not familiar with that organization, it's the ones who host the Emmys. And so for a summer, I was in the writer's room learning from the writing staff and the showrunner, shadowing them on set and in post. And at the same time, Claire was also shadowing a director, I believe. On that same episode, we were just sitting in Video Village, chatting it up, becoming fast friends, and we learned so much about what we had in common, which was mostly that we watched all the same shows growing up. And they were like the shows that raised us, so we figured we were siblings in TV. We talked about how these shows shaped all the ways that we interacted with the world, and how we clung to some characters like they were our boyfriends, because let's face it, we didn't have any at the time. And now as writers, we thought, hey, why not dissect all the shows that we loved when we were younger, from Charmed to Sex and the City, and share how these shows shaped our lives and shaped the culture for better or for worse.
Yeah, today's episode features my and Kat's all-time favorite show, the original Charmed, the original Power of Three, Prue, Piper, and Phoebe. But before we even talk about the characters, we have to acknowledge the actress who played the incredible Prue Halliwell, the late, great Shannon Doherty. May she rest in power.
Yes, Shannon, may you rest in power. I think we each wanted to say a little something about how much Shannon impacted our lives. So to me, I think it was very heartbreaking news, even though we all knew she was in stage 4 cancer treatment and struggling to fight it. But to just talk about her as an incredible actress and in her career, incredible career, I was such a huge fan for like an extremely long time. Since I was very young, I watched her from Little House on the Prairie to Beverly Hills 90210, from Heathers to Charmed and beyond. And every time she was on screen, I was just captivated. Mostly, I think, because she had a presence about her that exuded not just confidence, but drive. That's kind of what I would say. It's drive. And I, if you don't know, was an actress before I became a writer, and I just wanted to be just like her. I wanted to continue to watch her build character and how complicated and excited and edgy they were, and I wanted to be able to capture those same types of emotions that she could. So she was definitely an inspiration to me as a young artist. Also, I would say that I held her in high esteem, not only because I was this young performer, but also because I felt like the industry might have painted her in a bad light, but it didn't dim her light. And that, I think that's incredible. And I think that shows incredible strength of character. And I would just hope to have that kind of strength of character. All to say, like, it's been amazing to be able to watch her throughout her career and also to get to hear her last words through her podcast, Let's Be Clear. A shout out to that. If you guys haven't listened to it, I would suggest going and listening to it. She can say a lot more about her in her own words, but I just want to thank her from the bottom of my heart for all that she's contributed to this industry.
That was so amazing. Yeah, I was also, you know, heartbroken at the news. I really, especially because she was doing a podcast and, you know, so many people, it seems, have stage 4 cancer and like fight it and beat it or just are able to live a long time with it. So just, I was really surprised that she was healthy enough to do a podcast and yet just seem to like, you know, mm-hmm. pass away so quickly, it seemed. And I became more of a fan through Charmed, but she was such a strong actress and she played such a strong character that I wanted to watch her other things. And I watched Heathers and I watched Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Yeah, did you ever see that?
Of course, yeah.
I love that one.
Erica Jessica Parker, right? Is it?
Yeah, and Helen Hunt. Helen
Hunt, yeah.
80, like really great. Go watch that. It's all of these like stars before they were stars.
So cute in that.
Yeah, playing like the kid sister.
Bubbly little preteen.
Yeah, and then. When she left after season 3, I just continued to follow her career. I remember she hosted some, it was like a sci-fi prank show or something called Scare Tactics. I think she was on North Shore.
Yeah, yeah. She did a few Lifetime movies and some other smaller films that I still devoured.
Yeah, so it's just... she was so great and she really got like a bad reputation from just being a strong woman who spoke her mind and wouldn't put up with crap. Yeah. So
she was a trailblazer.
She is. So let's talk about Charmed. So Kat, tell me how you got into the show.
Oof, Charmed. I love Charmed so much. As you know, we've talked about it so many times over the years, but trying to like go back, and I don't want to age myself, but it's been a while. It's been 20 plus years since I was introduced to Charmed, and I think I was around 11 years old. Yeah, I did age myself. But I had already like been fully into kind of like fantasy sci-fi worlds, witchiness. I love practical magic. I was into Harry Potter. I think that was just coming out at that point in time. And so for me, like I think it was the summer before the second season was coming out and the WB was doing all these reruns, I think, in preparation for season two. And so I believe I caught like not even the full episode, but like the last little episode of Piper turning into a Wendigo. Is that, I think that's the one. Yeah, like which, and if you don't know what a Wendigo is, it's like a werewolf. But it was cool because like you never really see female werewolves on screen. And so then I was hooked, and it was not because of like the Wendigo episode, but it was because there was the show about three women, three sisters. I'm a sister, and they were battling evil. They were kicking butt and taking names and figuring out who they were together, being each other's advocates and confidants, and just like being all together, like incredibly powerful. And for me, as like a child who was a very strange kid, of course, I'm already like into these little magical worlds, and I'm making up all these kind of imaginary friends in my head. That and I felt like I could see me in these women, and I could see where I could be, or like, you know, once I grew up, I didn't have to feel like the strange kid anymore. I could be a powerful woman one day. And then also I think there was this thing that was happening for me when I was a kid, that I was kind of called like a tomboy a lot. I was very like rough and tumble and pushing back and kind of had a little bit of like dominance and boldness about me. And a lot of the times I was just being told like to soften up, to put that away, to kind of contain myself. And I just remember like one time I tried to play like on my school's football team, and I went to a private school, so they had them at a very young age, and I was told I wasn't allowed to play because I was a girl. But watching Charmed, these women never let any man or anyone tell them they couldn't do anything because they were women. And that, I think, just spoke to me so profoundly. They were just like representatives of like the female population that was all about being and taking in and showing off your power. And so for me, yeah, that was, I think, my way in and why I was captivated so much. The weird kid who wanted to be a powerful woman. Yeah. Tell me, Claire, what is your Charmed origin story?
Well, I got into it a little late. My older cousin was watching it. So I saw an episode of season one with her and didn't super connect to it at that point in time. But then during season two, I was studying the 1920s in social studies. And at that same time, Charmed had their like 1920s episode where they go back in time. And it just looked, I think I was just more interested in it like historically. But then watching it in the middle of the season, not having really any context, I was just like, oh, I want to know what happens next. Like, this was awesome. This was such a like a fun show. These women were, you know, badasses and wearing really cool costumes, which I was really into. And then I was able to, I think that year or the year after, I mean, I kept watching it regardless, but when TNT picked it up and started re-airing it from the beginning, I would tape them, aging myself. I had a TV in my room with a VHS player, and I would program it to take, because it was on at like 9 a.m. and I would program it to tape Charmed while I was at school so I could watch it from the beginning. Because yeah, back then reruns were either in the summer or maybe you saw one, you know, during a week where they didn't have a new one. But yeah, there was no other way. So that's when I really, really got into it. And I was also like a witchy kid who, you know, just kind of I loved practical magic too, but just like supernatural things, and like wanted to believe in fairies, and just I think I also on like a on a deeper level connected to that whole thing about being different and having to hide it but not wanting to.
Right.
Because I was like I was in middle school, you know, when it, when I season two was when I was in seventh grade. And I remember specifically for me, just being an openly weird kid, you know, like in elementary school, and then realizing in middle school, like that wasn't okay. And I need to like tamp it down. And yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For me, it made me think about middle school, and you said that you had to like tamp down your weirdness, and I think that's when like my weirdness blossomed. But I think it was only because I was able to find a group of friends who were also as equally as weird as I was, and they were equally into like the sci-fi fantasy stuff. And so, but like by the time I got to high school, it definitely seemed like, oh, we're all kind of trying to like fit more molds a little bit. I don't know if I ever did, but yeah, I don't. I think like it's so interesting that time period in our lives. I feel like it's such a huge transition. So for this show to come in and give us kind of this sense of hope that like that, or even validation, I think in some ways of like all of the things that we love as women, these women are embracing and doing, and that's okay, a little bit. Also, your VHS reminder, you are not alone. I did the exact same thing. I had to like when it because I was in Central Time when it was coming on. It was like right when I had to go to like basketball practice, and so I remember like when I would get home from school, I would like put in the VHS, and I think I would like scarf down dinner, I pressed record, and then I like run out the door, and then I come back from basketball practice and be like, I have to watch Charmed. I recorded it and everything. And luckily, like those VHSs were only an hour, so you had to like do it at the right time, but it would catch my show, and I just had stacks and stacks of them. And I remember one time, like I think my dad taped over my Charmed with like a basketball game or something, and I was livid.
No.
It was like it's torturous. I hope that never
No.
happened to you.
If you missed a new episode, you were screwed. There was no way. You had to like wait and hope that it would be one of the reruns.
Exactly. Like they wouldn't have aired something new. Yeah. And just to solidify how much of a Charmed fan I was in that same era when I was like putting VHSs in. My sister and my mom and I came to LA. I live in LA now, but came to LA on vacation. I think it was spring break. And I went to, all those like shops, like the souvenir shops in Hollywood. And I saw a Charmed shirt and I was like, oh, this is my shirt. And I got it and I wore it. So nerdy. I wore it every single time Charmed would air, and like I think it went from like Wednesdays to Thursdays, so it was a Wednesday and it was Charmed going on. Like I go to school every Wednesday or every Thursday in that shirt, and then I also bought some like cargo pants from LA, and I was like, this is my outfit, this is my Charmed outfit. I looked very grunge, I looked very 90s grunge, and it was 2000 something, but it was like a dedication. I was like a walking advertisement. They should have been paying me.
Seriously, I wish we had gone to the same school, because like I would have been in your group, and
We would have been such good friends then. It's good we found each other.
yeah, finally. You said before about how it was like three women leading a show, and I don't think I had really seen that before either. So that made it special and different. What else do you think set Charmed apart from other shows at that time?
Yeah, I mean, I think the female-centered shows that we knew about kind of were like Sex and the City, Gilmore Girls, but like I think that being three women and three sisters was unique to it. I also think that like out of those other ones that I mentioned, like, this one really passed the, like, Bechdel-Wallace test or the Bechdel test in a profound way. If you don't know what the Bechdel test or the Bechdel-Wallace test is, it's a measure of, like, representation for women in film and other fiction. It usually asks whether a work features two female characters, at least two female characters, who are having a conversation about something other than a man. And sometimes the test requires two women characters to have names, because sometimes they don't have names. It's just the waitress or whatever. And yeah, I think even in the very first scene of the pilot, Prue and Piper are talking about their sister. They're talking about Phoebe and whether she's getting her life together or not. And obviously Piper's hiding something. And if you haven't seen the pilot, go watch it, then come back and listen to us at the very least. You should watch the whole series, though. What about you? I thought that was like the big standout for me, is that it passed this test, but it was also about like these strong, independent women. And what else do you think kind of gave it like the being something that set itself apart from other shows?
Yeah, I mean, I think at that time, Gilmore Girls hadn't come out yet. So this was two seasons before that. And I didn't know about Sex and the City, I think, for a while.
Right.
And either way, I couldn't watch it, you know, like it was HBO and I was banned. But yeah, I think the fact that, yeah, they were three like adult women who weren't settling down. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big thing, that it wasn't about, you know, finding a man and getting married.
Right.
It was them figuring out their lives, what they wanted, a lot of mostly career stuff, which I just feel like we didn't see growing up. And that was really important.
I think it was really great to see them kind of being individuals and taking charge of kind of all the responsibilities in their lives, right? Like they didn't need a man to figure out like the mortgage on the house or whatever they needed, or the taxes or the careers that they wanted. I mean, even in the pilot episode, Prue quits her job and doesn't feel like it's like a crushing thing. It feels liberating. I think your insight on the fact that they were career oriented, that they were independent and they were able to just kind of figure themselves out alone as single women before their love interest came into their lives, is very powerful for the young people that we were, and for the futures that we were like hoping to have or that they were possibilities for us. I think for me, I had a good role model in my mother, who was a career woman. She was in corporate her whole life. She eventually ended her career as the chief marketing officer of an engineering firm. And so she had a very successful career. And so I never kind of felt like I didn't have that option for me to have a big grand career of some kind. But, you know, I think there's this sense that, like, does marriage have to be in the picture for every woman out there? Does the way that a relationship works out, does it have to be always just with the same person, or could there be, you know, this variation of what our love lives look like as we get older? And I think they kind of demonstrated that, yes, there's like the possibilities of all kinds of things, and being single is not a bad thing or a thing that's not to be desired, because you have agency. They had agency, and that was, it's just like, I think part of that being a huge shift in the way that women were portrayed.
Yeah, totally. And when they were dating, it wasn't like, oh, what can I do to keep this guy? It was like, what's going on with my life? Does this guy even fit in? The men were always like after them and waiting for them to give them the time of day.
Yes, exactly. It was all these men trying to have their time, not them like waiting around for a man to validate them in some way. Which I love. Like there was this episode, and it's not in the first season. It's probably the second or third where I think it's the stalker episode. Maybe it's not, but there's a guy who's like dating or wanting to date Prue, but she never shows up at P3. Like, and he's just, he sits there for hours. Her sisters are like giving him drinks because they feel sorry for him.
It is the stalker one.
Yeah. And I won't spoil it for those who haven't seen it, but like he is this guy who's really interested in her, and multiple times within the episode, he comes to P3, which is the club that they own, and sits there and waits for her for hours, and she like maybe shows up at the end or never shows up. And I don't know any man in this day and age who would wait for me for hours, or anyone. I mean, maybe if you're an uber famous celebrity, will they wait for you for hours at a bar and just like accept free, maybe because of the free drinks, but like just, but like, they'll be interested in me and not like talking to some other girl in that bar. Yeah, but the fact that there was a portrayal of like them having that much like magnetism for a man to wait for them, which I mean, I'm sure I've seen movies or something where a woman is waiting around for a man or waiting by the phone, and they, you know, rarely did that. So it was unique to say the least.
Yeah, I wish I had like paid attention to that more, I think, at the time, because I did have a stay-at-home mom, mm-hmm. and she was one of the only stay-at-home moms, like, of my friends. Mm-hmm. Most of my friends had working moms mm-hmm. at that point, but she didn't, and I love that she was home, and she could take me to doctor's appointments, and she could pick me up from school if I had a migraine, because I had one, like, every week. I really wanted that for myself, which was a whole other thing that, you know, Disney movies and whatnot, but I really wanted to just kind of like get married and be a mom, like in my 20s. And I don't know why I didn't, maybe on like a very subconscious level, mm-hmm. I was connecting with these really strong women who were taking charge of their own lives and not trying to get a man and settle down, but I'm glad that other people saw that.
I mean, I have to say that like I've seen that now rewatching these episodes as a woman in her 30s. Like this is not something that when I was 12 or 13 was like fully registering. But I think subconsciously, and I think that's why we're talking about it as like the TV that has raised us, because I think it's about representation and what are we seeing on the screen that women are doing that are giving us permission in our own lives to be, you know, independent or proactive about what we expect in a relationship, and are we settling, or are we going to accept certain behaviors anymore, or are we going to really be selective about the people that we are going to be paired with for however long that might be. And I think these women allowed us to be selective.
The other thing that is just striking me is, I mean, they're fighting demons who are trying to kill them. So they're very much in a, like, I need to live my life the way I want it because it could be all gone tomorrow.
100%.
It makes total sense that they wouldn't be just waiting around for anyone yeah. or for anything, because it's like, I have to live for today. And
the urgency is so there, which is such like, it's a great format or structure for the show, is to have every episode be almost life and death. And it might, whether it was for them or for an innocence that they were protecting, but that they didn't really have a lot of time for BS. And even though I think sometimes they did take it, I think that they were very strong and in their resolve to have the life that they envision for themselves. Because why not when you're faced every day with opposition,
right,
of the supernatural kind. But why don't we kind of segue into the actual sisters, so Prue, Piper, and Phoebe, and who we really connected to the most. Maybe you want to start. I feel like I talked too much.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because as I was saying that and we were talking about that, I remembered this episode, I think in season one with Piper, where she's got this horrible boss that is making her work do like three or four people's jobs and she can't stand up to him. And it's only like when they've got like a truth spell going on that she's able to quit. But then of course, at the end of the spell, no one remembers anything, but I think she is finally able to say like, I need a break or I need three more people or something. But Piper definitely was the sister that I related to, not just because I'm more of like that kind of person where it's hard for me to be confrontational and stand up for myself, but also she was the middle child and I had just become the middle child when I was 11, just like a very delayed, got like a surprise baby brother. So that was really fun. And so I was enjoying that, I think, and looking to connect with other middle children. And also Piper was just so funny. Like she was kind of the comic relief in a lot of ways. And it's not so much a little bit the way she was written, but a lot just the actress, Holly Marie Combs, just her expressions and the way she delivered lines. And that's also kind of my personality. So I saw myself a lot in Piper for sure.
Yeah. Piper is such a great character. I can totally see that. I mean, the humor comes out, I think, so naturally for her. I am a sister, but I'm the baby sister. But I even didn't, like, connect as much to Phoebe. There's some things that I connected to, but not as much as I did to Prue. I was so obsessed with Prue, and I don't know. I'm going to tell you how obsessed, unfortunately. When I also got into Harry Potter, my group of friends and I, the ones I told you about that we were also weird and letting our freak flags fly, we all had like aliases that were named, that we created that were in the Harry Potter universe. And the only name I could ever think of to like name my Harry Potter character after was another witch from another realm, another witchy universe, which was Prue. So, and I won't give you my last name because, you know, it's part of my other crew. But but yes, I had to name my witchy character after the best witch that I knew, which was Prue Hallowell. And for me, it was so much that she was the one who kind of stood her ground, that she was, yes, like the way that they made her was like she's the strong one, the leader, the very powerful one. But I think for me, what was so captivating about her was that she was able to show just you could sense her vulnerability, that she had this hidden vulnerability under this kind of mask of strength that really hit home for me. And I was like, that I understand, because for me, kind of in my life, I was kind of going through that sense of like, on the outside, I kind of exuded kind of this confidence. I was very strong. And a lot of the times people would be like, she's just like a big shield and that's fine. Like, you know, that's good. We can throw a lot at her. And I, for me, was like, no, but there's a lot of tenderness inside here and there's a lot of softness and you just can't see it because like I've been raised to be a little bit more like the world's gonna throw things at me, so I need to to show strength in that. But and I think that's kind of how Prue was. And but yet, you know, Shannon Doherty was had this like incredible way of like portraying Prue's like internal life through her eyes. You can see a lot of like the hurt and when they would tell her that she had to do it by herself. There's that whole like episode where they're like, you know, it says the power of one. It's you. You have to do it. You have to defeat Abraxas or something like that. And she's like, I can't. This it's too much. And so in those moments where she was vulnerable, I saw myself so completely. And in those moments when she was strong, I saw myself. She was allowing me to be both and to keep figuring it out and to not and to have it be messy and complicated and okay that not everybody saw the softness inside. But yeah, so I think for me it was totally all Prue all the way. I also probably just wanted to be her. But on the flip side, I think as the youngest, I think we should talk a little bit about Phoebe. I think I admired Phoebe a lot. What the creators got right in about like, the birth order is that like a lot of the blame got put, and I don't know how you experienced this, but I experienced this a lot where it's like, oh, you're the irresponsible one, the messy one, the ones who's gonna like fuck up or mess up or screw up or whatever. And yeah, I felt that way. I mean, if anything was missing or went wrong in my household, like my name was the first one called. But she also was like much more free, much more liberal in her body, mm-hmm. much more comfortable in her own skin than I was. And so that's like I felt was the reason I kind of admired her and something to aspire to, but I was not relating at that point in time. Especially I was so transitional and young at that time. I don't know. How did you feel about Phoebe?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same. I mean, I was the youngest for a decade. So I'm trying to think. You know, I had an older brother, you know, you had a sister. So I'm sure the fighting was different, but we still fought. And I think a lot of times it was his fault, actually.
It's absolutely his fault. As a younger sister, I can attest it is never our fault.
Yeah, but we're kind of the default, like you're the youngest, so you probably screwed up something. But yeah, I think I definitely got from like Phoebe and I guess Alyssa Milano's portrayal of just her being very youthful and very kind of the one who is going to maybe like take a huge leap mm-hmm. that the other two are like, hold on, we need to think about this. And that definitely wasn't me, but I think it made sense. For her being like the third sister and also just for being, you know, like a different kind of character,
yeah.
You know.
She was definitely the risk taker and she was the youthful one. So I guess in age-wise, we could probably relate to her a little bit more about like just her prefrontal cortex not being fully developed. And so she would just go for it. But I agree that like there was something very unique and likable about that character. We definitely needed the Phoebe in the three just to lighten things up a little bit. Like, yes, Piper's the humor, but you wouldn't get Piper's humor unless it was reacting to like those two in some ways. Like,
right.
They in a way they're so similar and yet they're so much of a contrast. And I love that because I think they're both very like independent, very strong-minded, strong opinionated women,
sure.
Prue and Phoebe. And so that's why they bet heads a lot. And you needed Piper as the middle siblings usually are as this mediator, but also with her own opinions that she just is just, you know, the comic relief, that little side eye roll or whatever. What power would you want? Is it related to your birth order or what do you think?
I think so. I mean, like Piper you know, me connecting with her the most, I definitely would want to freeze time.
Yeah.
I feel like, and that's, I'm not sure it has so much to do with being a middle child, mm-hmm. but just being someone who probably has ADHD and like can hardly get things done. I'm always, you know, I can get easily overwhelmed mm-hmm. and just want to like say stop and make everyone freeze so I can like have a moment to try and refocus. But yeah, I think I'm trying to think of like why I would want to move things with my mind. I don't think I would want to, and I also don't want to get flashes of the future. So freezing time for sure.
That's
good. What about you?
Yeah, I can tell you why I would want to move things with my mind. So totally Prue's telekinesis would be for me. One, I think it's just a cool ass power. Like, who doesn't want to be like Matilda and like sit in their bed and like bring a book to them instead of like having to get up and and do that? Or just like, you know, whatever, like small task, big task, throwing people across the room. But I think what I love about it, and I love particularly about Prue's way that it works in her mind, and she talks about it being in the mind, is that it's like it was so connected to what was going on in her emotions and whatever was going on up there, that it was kind of a release. And for me, like, I have like a 24/7 like constant chatter up there. Like, it's probably related to my ADHD. And like, if I could just have a power that could just expel some of that for just a little while to give me some relief, that would be amazing. And I think the like scene that registers the most with me is the first episode where Phoebe and Prue are in the pharmacy and Prue has a headache. And she's like, and I get, mm-hmm. I also got migraines since I was very young and I still have them. So she was like looking for aspirin and Phoebe is telling her like, you're a witch, this is your power, like use it. And by the time Phoebe makes her really mad, everything's off the shelf. And then Phoebe asks her, like, do you feel better? And she's like, yeah, or something like that. And I was just like, yes, could that would be wonderful if that every time there's just so much going on and there's so much clutter and I have a migraine that I could just move an object and, like, it's instant therapy or just, like, instant relief. Like, I just, like, I don't need aspirin. Like, wow, that would be... I think it's both like rewarding and also just a really cool power.
Yeah. When you put it like that, like removing a headache out of your mind sounds great. Isn't that like maybe a line that she says, that Phoebe says to her?
Yeah.
At some point, maybe not that episode, but she says something to her about like, well, just move it out of your mind.
No, she does. If it's not that episode, it's another one, but it's close to that episode. But yeah, exactly. Like, I would love to move things out of my mind or shift them or organize them in some way. Yeah, though I don't want us to sleep on Phoebe's power. Like, I know, like, the prospect of, like, getting images of the future, of the past, or, like, can seem like a lot and have been a lot in other aspects. But I thought like it was would have been really interesting if like her power was able to evolve into this in a way that would allow her to travel through time. Like, I think, you know, yes, Piper has freezing time, but like Phoebe sees time. And what if right. what if it's like she can step in and out of it and predict, like, yes, predict things, but also maybe shift and go into another, to that era and change something or come back or see things. I feel like there's so much that is yet to explore with the premonition power and the expansion of it that is really cool. And I also think that, like, the whole show was, like, sleeping on that power for a little bit, but I think that it's so powerful to be able to have foresight and foreknowledge.
I'm trying to think. I don't know how. I know, like, well, it becomes active in season 3 a little bit, but I know she also is able to see the past.
Yeah. All to say, I think, you know, I think it's a cool power.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
If it's something that allows you to maybe like change.
Yes.
make a right, a wrong, or stop from making a mistake.
Yeah, exactly. And like how much more could it be influenced and not just like spontaneous with her touching something, but like that she's in control and can just conjure that at any point in time when she wants it. I think that's the cool power when you actually are really using it. Yeah. And that's our show. But don't worry, that's just part one of two. We'll be back to talk about the power of three and the cursed love lives of our sisters. Thanks so much for joining us.
Charmed by the Set is executive produced by Kat Davidson and Claire Almond, sound engineered and edited by Kat Davidson, with original music by John Bell. Find out more about our podcast at www.charmedbytheset.com and follow us on social media at Charmed by the Set.